אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
We are now joined by Ayal Marek from Melbourne. Shalom, Ayal.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Would you like to tell our listeners about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Ayal Marek. I'm an Israeli and an Australian. I've been living here for about 22 years. Grew up for the first 30 or so years of my life in Israel. Have been involved in various activities, both work-wise and others that are some are related to Israel, others are not. And right now, fully engaged with trying to make a difference and some impact with regards to everything that is going on at the moment.
And I can assume that the events on the 7th of October also caught you totally by surprise.
Oh, absolutely. It was, I still clearly remember the first image of this van ute with armed Hamas people with all the machine guns in Sderot that someone filmed from their balcony. And it was a very surreal image. And I clearly remember the shock of this starting to communicate with others and then realizing this is just only one of several things going on. And as the hours kept going, the unbelievable time that it took for forces to be able to confront them, we have had, you know, incidents in the past. We, you know, someone has grew up in Israel. You know, I grew up in a hometown when I was 4 years old already. There were 27 school children that were slaughtered in Maalot. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but, you know, some people would.
Yes.
So it's not as one incident. Unfortunately, it's a reality we're familiar with. But the scale and the time that it took to confront them was something that was still, you know, we're still processing.
Mm. Do you know any of the victims or families of victims?
I don't personally know them, but I know many people who do. You know, I think there's no one person who's not impacted by it in Israel in one way or another.
Yeah.
I've got sisters who live in Tel Aviv and had to go in the middle of the night to shelters. And I've got parents that are elderly living close to the Lebanese border. Mm. And everything is very tense because, you know, you don't know when and if Hezbollah will decide to do something. Mm-hmm. So in one way or another, everybody's impacted, but physically, yes.
You mentioned that your parents live near the border of Lebanon. Haven't they been evacuated?
So the evacuation went until 5 kilometers. They're 7 kilometers from the line, so they haven't. And my dad says he will not leave. But, you know, he's a very, very determined.
Where do they live?
In a moshav called Moshav Chosen. We used to live in Maalot. This is what I referred to before, where the massacre happened in 1974. Yeah. But we moved to a moshav nearby. It's called Maalot. It's between near Kfar Vadim and Maalot. Very nice, leafy, you know, in peaceful days, green hills and very peaceful piece of land. Lots of Arab neighboring villages that during day-to-day live, you know, as neighbors, work together.
Wow. Okay, let's go back to Melbourne. Last Monday, you organized a very creative initiative in Caulfield Park in Melbourne. Please tell us more about it.
So Monday was part of a global initiative to mark the 30 days to the atrocities, with the aim of trying to, one, grieve as a global community for the loss of life, but also to try and raise awareness to the faith of the 240 hostages that are still being held and not even one representative of the Red Cross has been able to see or talk to, or nobody knows what their fate is going to be. So this initiative was headed by an organization that is a grassroots movement, 4,800 dedicated volunteers, led by digital marketing experts and similar kind of people with different skills that came with this campaign. And we here in Melbourne adopted one of the initiatives that everybody could do whatever they want. And ours was a small website that has an app that you scan a barcode, you go into the website, and you can send a postcard of hope, message of hope, to the hostages that the families can see. And hopefully when they return, they'll see all those people that thought about them. All the photos are there with the name, age, and you just select who you connect with and you send them a personalized message. And we got hundreds of messages already. We keep doing that. We had also a singer and a guitarist, and we had two great speakers. And yes, that's that was the event that we had on Monday.
Nice. I believe this is a first of many creative events you are planning, right?
Absolutely. Yes, we are already combining with another initiative that is going to happen on the 19th that we'll aggregate and do a joint activity where the post office boxes that we have and the flyers with the barcodes will be available for people who will come to send a similar message, plus some other activities that it's too early because we haven't formalized it, but we will let you know when it's ready.
What was the reaction from the people around you on the day?
It was great because people felt that they're doing something on an emotional, personal level, and that resonated with lots of members of the community. We also had it later the same day in Beit Weizmann when they were marking, there was a community event to mark the 30th as well, the Shloshim there with lighting candles, and people who were coming into the event joined, and almost everyone wrote a message. They felt that it was touching them. You know, some people were too emotional, but we got great feedback so far.
You know, as the days go by, we see more and more members of the Jewish community who come with creative initiatives like yours. But then I'm thinking myself, shouldn't there be a roof body which gathers all these ideas and then can distribute them to the wider community, like one place where people can come and share ideas? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I fully understand your point. First of all, I think everyone who initiates something should, receive support and acknowledgement and well done, thumbs up. But I do agree that there is room for some coordination. There are so many initiatives. It's not such a big community. There are some initiatives to organize and coordinate things. I've held a meeting with two of the leading organizations just a couple of weeks ago to try and reach this coordination. We are learning as we go how to do that better. I mean, on Monday we had three events. It would have made sense to have one coordinated, absolutely. There are various reasons why this might happen. I don't think it's anyone's particular fault. I hope that the message will resonate. There is an initiative to have a calendar, a joint calendar, so we don't duplicate and we are coordinated. But there's more work to do to make sure that happens.
One topic that I mentioned before in our program is the issue we are currently facing with anti-Semitism, and I'm sure we will discuss it many more times in the next coming weeks. What is your opinion on this topic?
Anti-Semitism is not a new thing, and I'm not surprised by its existence necessarily, especially in times like this. We know that there is usually a rise. The scale is alarming. It's not something that we should take lightly. I have been involved in initiatives that have to do with anti-Semitism in universities, for example, that we've got a program that we're running through Art and Organization that I'm involved with to empower students to know how to cope when they are being attacked. Because I don't know if you saw a recent survey before even all this started, that showed that that was done by ZFA and Audius and several groups, that showed that a very high percentage, more than 50% of students, hide their identity from fear of anti-Semitism in 21st century Australia. I don't think that is an acceptable situation, that someone has to be hiding their identity in a free, liberal society like Australia. So, look, people need to take precaution. I think there is also difference in the reaction of the Israeli community here in the Australian. The Israelis are more used to these kind of threats and feel more that, you know, we should go to Federation Square like they did and organize on Monday and other places. While I think many members that other members of the Jewish community are a bit more reluctant, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I think we should not let them, terror us. This is what they're trying to do.
Okay. Eyal, how can people help with future initiatives? Are you happy to share some contact details?
Yes, I'm happy to share. I mean, we are a grassroots initiative. My name is Eyal Mari. People can contact me on 0430-356677 or on my email, ayalmarek, ayalmarek@gmail.com. So far I've been funding all of this on my own. But if we continue, if people are happy to give their time, volunteering, or any other support, we're welcome. We can amplify the messages.
Eyal Marek from Melbourne, thank you so much for speaking to us today, and good luck with future initiatives.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.